It's Wrecking Ball Radio.
This is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Thank you for hanging out on Davin's Den. So this next thing is four different stories, but we're going to be really quick with them, with each story. Happened within the course of a week last week in our fine country. So I want to let you know, it involves gun violence. Different type of gun violence than we usually talk about. Usually we talk about the good old-fashioned mass shootings, or sometimes the Chicago gang wars. This is none of those. Prosecutors charged an 84-year-old white Kansas City man with two felonies on Monday in the shooting of a black teenager who was wounded after walking up to the wrong house when going to pick up his younger twin brothers. Andrew Lester was charged with first-degree assault, which could bring a sentence of life in prison, and armed criminal action for shooting Ralph Jarl, 16, on the doorstep of a suburban home around 10 p.m. last Thursday. The prosecutor said, I can tell you there was a racial component to the case, Clay County Prosecutor Zachary Thompson told a news conference without providing further details. Lester fired two shots through a glass door from a .32 caliber revolver. The prosecutor said Jarl, who was struck in the head and an arm, did not cross the threshold. Thompson said, adding it did not appear any words were exchanged in the encounter. But Jarl told police in an interview at the hospital where he was treated that the man told him, don't come round here. Local media reported, citing court documents. The teen was recovering at home on Monday, his family said. On Saturday night, Kaylin Gillis and a friend mistakenly pulled into a driveway of a 65-year-old Kevin Monahan in rural Hebron, New York. While they were looking for a friend's house, the Washington County Sheriff's Office said, Monahan fired at least two shots toward the group and fatally hit 20-year-old, authorities said. Andrew Gillis said his daughter's boyfriend was driving at the time of the shooting. There was no reason for Mr. Monahan to feel threatened, especially as it appears the vehicle was leaving at the time, Washington County Sheriff Jeffrey Murphy said. Monahan was initially uncooperative, but with the investigation and refused to exit his residence to speak with police, the sheriff's office said. Monahan was later taken into custody and charged with second-degree murder. Two teenage cheerleaders were shot after one said she mistook the suspect's vehicle for her own in a supermarket parking lot near Texas Capitol, one of at least four incidents this week in which young people who'd made an apparent mistake were met with gunfire. Pedro Tello Rodriguez Jr., 25, who authorities say shot the teens, was arrested early Tuesday, the Elgin Police Department said. He's being held on $500,000 bond and accused of deadly conduct with a firearm, third-degree felony, a probable cause document states. It was not immediately clear whether he has an attorney. The latter girl had gotten out of her friend's car and opened the door to a vehicle she thought was hers, only to find a man sitting in the passenger seat. She said during the live stream prayer vigil Tuesday night at her cheer team's gym, Heather Roth was trying to apologize to the man when he got out of the passenger door, she said. He just threw his hands up, and then he pulled out a gun, and he just started shooting at all of us, she said, fighting tears. Roth fellow top flight cheerleader Peyton Washington and two others fled immediately in their car, said Lynn Shearer, managing partner of the Woodlands Elite Cheer Company, where the girls train. As soon as they saw the gun, they said go, and they drove, and they went about 2 miles down the road, she told CNN. And that's when they realized that Peyton was seriously hurt, and they pulled over. They realized the guy wasn't following them because Peyton was throwing up blood at that point, so that's when they called 911. The 24-year-old man accused of shooting a 6-year-old girl, her parents, and another neighborhood after a basketball rolled into his yard in North Carolina is now in police custody. Neighbors told ABC News Charlotte affiliate WSOC, the shooting on Tuesday started when a basketball rolled into Singletary's yard from a group of local children playing basketball in the street. Singletary allegedly fired a gun at a neighbor before approaching a father and daughter, William James White, and 6-year-old Kinsley White, who were both seriously wounded. One woman was grazed by a bullet and the second man was shot at but not injured, police said. William White remains in serious condition, according to police. Why did you shoot my daddy and me? Why did you shoot a kid's dad? Kinsley asked in an emotional interview, stitches visible on her cheek from the bullet fragments that hit her. Family members said William White tried to draw gunfire toward himself to protect his family as Singletary unloaded an entire magazine toward his neighbor. White was shot in the back of his own front yard, according to his partner Ashley Hildebrand. He looked at my husband and my daughter and told them, I'm going to kill you, Hildebrand said. Singletary is charged with 4 counts of attempted murder, 2 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, and 1 count of possession of a firearm by a felon. In December, Singletary was separately charged with assaulting his girlfriend with a mini sledgehammer, leading her to bleed profusely from the back of her head and forcing her inside an apartment for 2 hours. The victim further stated that Singletary told her that she could not leave until she cleaned up all the evidence from the assault. Okay. First of all, kids, have any of you guys ever made any of these quote-unquote mistakes? Your ball go into a neighbor's yard, pulling down the wrong driveway, ringing the wrong doorbell by mistake, or even opening up the wrong car door. I have made several of those mistakes in my time.
I've made all of them.
I think that basically in the story of the guy over the basketball, I mean, the guy was, you know, a felon. I don't even know why he was out of jail. And what he did was absolutely ludicrous.
Well, what all these people did was absolutely ludicrous. But to what I asked you, have you made any of these mistakes, Joe? Did your ball ever go into a neighbor's yard?
No, I would. Basically, what the mistakes here were is that you're possessing a deadly weapon.
No, I know that. I will get there. I'm asking you, when you were a child, did your ball ever roll into a neighbor's yard?
Of course.
Did you ever ring a wrong doorbell by mistake?
Of course.
Did you ever pull down the wrong driveway by mistake?
Yes.
Did you ever open up the wrong car door by mistake?
Yes.
When we did these things, was there ever a thought that you might get shot?
No. Depending on the neighborhood, that I was in. Now let's take the story where the black teen got shot by the guy.
Yes.
The elderly man. Okay. The elderly man should have. You go to deadly force as an absolute last resort. Was this situation the absolute last resort? No, not even close. However, in that town, in Kansas City, the violent crime rate is 417% higher than the national average. What he did was wrong, but the fear that must go through these people,
then you know what?
A gun and act like that.
You know what, Joe? If you're that afraid, you can't have a gun. Because you need a cool, calm head to have a deadly weapon. If you are on that much on edge, that much of a hair trigger, where a 5'8", 16-year-old, slight of build black boy rings your doorbell, and your first thing is to open fire, you don't have a gun, and that's really where we are. So I was talking to my buddy Sean, who I'm doing the co-pilot with. He owns guns, and he's an NRA member. And I said, here's the thing. And I said it on this show, we can no longer be trusted to have guns. So here is my solution. All you fucking gun owners, figure out which one of you guys are sane. Figure out which one of you guys are not sane. Leave the rest of us out of it. Leave the police out of it. We'll have EMTs on standby like the Purge when the shooting stops. But enough of this shit. Because we can't figure out which one of you guys is normal. Who's having a bad day? Who doesn't like basketballs? We can't figure this shit out anymore. There's too many guns in this country. And it's ridiculous that normal activities that we have all taken for granted our whole life, in addition to going to church, going to school, going to the mall, is now taking your life into your own hands. This is not a society anybody wants to live in. We know you have your right to your gun, but we have a right to live in peace and be free and not fear. It's not the law-abiding gun owners. Well, they were law-abiding until they weren't. That's the thing with crimes. I always drove the speed limit until I didn't. That's the thing with crimes. Why do we have laws? Because people break laws. And too many of you maniacs are breaking laws. And you're not controlling your own maniacs. How many conversations have Joe and I had in the 2013s to 2019s where they need to take care of their own? Where are the black fathers? Where's this? Where's that? You need to police your own.
Hold on.
We need the moderate Muslims. We had them all. I'm telling all you gun owners, Go house to house. Fucking figure it out. Shoot the lunatics. Get back to us when you're done.
What most gun owners are going to tell you is basically whoever does not respect the gun has to be convicted to the full extent of the law, where people realize that when you fire a weapon, it better be the last resort and not a knee-jerk reaction, or you're going to jail for years. And any gun owner will tell you that.
Well, that's the problem, Joe. Not every gun owner is telling us that. Some of these gun owners...
But what it is that they're more responsible gun owners than irresponsible gun owners.
Well, these four were apparently responsible gun owners until they weren't. That's the problem.
Then you go to jail. Simple as that.
I understand that, but until then, people's lives are being taken.
But that's the price we pay for the right to own a gun.
Right, and the price has gotten too high. Because you maniacs... They can't control themselves.
You start taking guns away, and you know what? They're going to get a legal gun. And if you start taking the guns away from the populace, okay, the government is going to start forcing their hand on everybody, and that's what stops the government.
And listen, we've had this conversation. Let me tell you something, Joe. We've had this conversation. If the government wants to take us out, they do it from a little button with a drone, and we get melted. That's what happens.
And the time that happens, the society that we know is over. The government knows that.
I'll take Canada's society.
If you get involved with something like that on a grand scale, this country is done. It's a deterrent to keep that from getting to that point.
We're the only Western democracy that lives like this. The other countries, the governments don't overtake them. They have elections and shit. So are only we elect people that are just waiting for us to get rid of the guns to dominate us? I don't think that's the case. The problem is...
That is the case. That's why the forefathers enacted that law.
Well, they did.
They came from Europe where that was going on, and what kept the tyranny was an armed populace.
But they didn't come from a democracy. They came from a monarchy. And they didn't, they didn't have the laws in effect that we do here.
And you don't feel that we have a monarchy now, the way the government's being run?
No.
Where our freedoms are being taken, they're starting to intrude in our lives every chance they can get?
No.
You don't feel that right?
No, we don't have a monarchy. No, we don't.
We don't have a monarchy, no.
Gotcha.
I do feel like there are certainly a fair amount of fascists in our government right now.
Okay.
Well, no, I mean, I'm saying I don't feel like it's a monarchy. You said monarchy. I do feel there are a fair amount of fascists in our government that are trying to run roughshod over democracy. However, I do have to look at the records of other civilized countries in the world, and they have taken the guns away from the populace, and they don't have the problem that we have with all of the mass shootings. The rest of the world looks at us like we are lunatics because we've become lunatics. We allow this.
And here's the worst part. The red states are not going towards more stringent laws for gun owners, like, a permit, training, really hard, background checks. They're making it easier to get guns. We're common.
Well, that, you see, now that, excuse me. See, that is where I I'm coming over to your side on that. The need, if you're going to have, driving a car is a privilege, it's not a right. But if you're going to get a car, you need to be trained how to drive the car, registered. If you're going to get a gun, you need to be trained on how to handle it. You need to be trained on how to use it. You need to be trained that it is something that if you're going to use it, it has to be the last resort. You need to realize that if you do carry a gun and you see a situation, your first instinct is to run like hell and never even think about pulling the weapon. And there is a contingent out there that do not, that need to have that instructed and instilled, and the ones that don't need to be jailed for a very long time.
Well, Joe, unfortunately, the party that you frequently vote with does not agree. So we and listen, guns are everywhere. It's not just a red state problem. But you would think... common sense would say, there are too many guns and too many people who shouldn't have guns. I always hear, you know, we just heard it. Well, you know, the law-abiding gun owners or the legal gun owners. Yeah, but there's too many people that shouldn't have guns. This guy who brutalized his girlfriend with a sledgehammer, he has a gun? How is that possible?
Exactly. I don't know. Let's take a break. How in the hell did he, number one, get out? Number two, be able to have a weapon? Now, what I did on all of this, and they're not saying, I don't think they're hiding anything, but I don't think they got in that depth. Of all these shooters, they didn't say if the gun was a registered, was a legal gun or an illegal gun. You know, you could say, well, what difference does it make? It makes a difference because you're curious about if it was illegal. In the case of the shooter over the basketball, I don't think that was a legal gun. Because if it was, they should have taken it away.
But they don't.
Away, then somebody's got to get fired.
You got to remember, like if he was charged with assault in December, this is April. He hasn't had his court case yet. So they can't take away his gun necessarily. And remember the Republic. There was a law that the Democrats were pushing. It might have gotten I don't think it made it in the new gun reform, where they wanted to make it illegal for domestic abusers to have guns, and the Republicans pushed back on that. So, listen, man, here's the thing. I can't entertain a conversation about legal gun ownership anymore when we have a party that wants to make it easier and easier in the face of all this gun violence. If we had two responsible parties, I'd be much more sympathetic to that conversation, because ideally legal gun ownership should be a thing. You should be able to hunt. You should be able to protect yourself, you know, but if you got a hair trigger and if you're afraid, no, you should not have a gun. Get ADT. Use the ring, stupid. You don't have to open up the door. I got the ring. I never have to let anybody in.
That's why we're here.
That's right.
No, none of us are here. We're all here, here, and here because we don't want to leave our friggin' houses. It's terrifying.
No, but Joe, I mean, I hear your point.
When I was a lumberjack, we were all drinking, and we go up to Holton, Maine. Got to tell you, one of the funnest nights I've ever had out, period. Great time. We're heading back to the logging camp, and we were low on gas. And a couple of guys go, well, there's a farmhouse. We'll bang on the door. And I guess the guy said we were looking for ass and pulled out a gun, and the fellas had to get back to the car too fucking sweet. So, you know, but we're in a rural area. You know, not that's an excuse, you know, but still.
Listen, if you see somebody pulling up your driveway and your first reaction is to fire, you should not have a gun. Here's the thing. We've talked about mental health a lot. Clearly, these people are not mentally healthy. But what about the effect of everybody else who's now living in fear of all these guns? That affects mental health, too. I mean, it probably affects more mental health. This is not, what we are doing is not working. It's just not working. It's 20 years ago, it was working better. 30 years ago, it was working better. 10 years ago, it was working better. It's not working. This isn't mass shootings. This isn't like we talk about all the video games or a lonely guy. This is four different people. All men, of course. Four different people, four different ages, different ethnicities. All the same result. People who are scared or have a hair trigger or think it's a toy or disregard life. We are no longer responsible enough as a society overall to enjoy this right, unfortunately.
Well, it is a right.
It is.
What they should do is that, and like I said, my biggest thing is the training. You should get trained. If you get a weapon, you have to have training. Now, a lot of states do. Now, Anthony, with all his guns and all his stuff, is moving to South Carolina. He had to go down, you know, he's partially living there. His girlfriend is down there all the time now getting the place set up. But Ant wanted to get his license for his guns. He had to go down for a weekend and have a full weekend of gun training. Man shot all his life, you know, the ranch. And I think that's great. Your gun training, you learn respect. You learn how to handle a weapon. You learn the do's and don'ts. And, you know, if anything during the training, it might hinder you from getting a license, but you have to pass all of that to get a license. And I think it's necessary because basically what you're taught is you need to respect the weapon and you do not use the weapon on another person unless that it is the absolute last resort. And you know, in these things, it was not the last resort. It was a knee-jerk reaction. These people did not use a weapon properly, and these people should be locked up for at least 20 years.
Yeah, but the problem is, and I agree with you, it's going to happen again and again and again and again.
It's going to happen again. It's going to happen for all the while.
But it never used to happen. It didn't used to. We just told how we've made all those mistakes and we never had that fear. And we are old as hell. This is a new thing.
Because society has changed.
Yes, society's changed.
I used to blame the video games. I was on Anthony's show last week and we were having a discussion on guns. And what I brought Josh Denny, who does his own show, and Ant was on. So we were talking about the whole gun issue. And I brought up the video game because my standing is that, well, I think video games add to that. And I've said that. A lot of people have told me that that's not really the case. So I brought the question up on the show. And they educated me. And they're saying, look, if you're going to play a video game, a person of a reasonable mind, an average mind, will realize that this is fantasy. You can't act like this in real life. That's why you're playing this game, because this is not real life. And there are a portion of people, that slim margin of people, that can't make the distinction between this fantasy world and real life.
Yes, yes, 100%. But also, the whole world has video games. It's only our population that the people that can't distinguish the fantasy can act out their fantasy because they have access to these weapons. That's the difference, unfortunately.
Well, if you have the training, cut that down.
Forget about the training. I mean, the mentality. I mean, we're not checking in with people. I mean, you can just get a gun pretty easily in a lot of places, and every place else, once you get the gun, and even the places where you have the training, you're left to your own devices. We don't check back with you, see how you're doing, which is ridiculous. Things change. People get divorced. People lose jobs. People feel slighted. Things happen in life that change the way you look at life. The only thing that doesn't change is your access to that gun. So
now, when the problem with the red flag laws is that, you would say you were going for red flag laws, but basically sometimes the discussion is that the government overreach into what is actually a red flag case and what is not a red flag case can be a problem. And that's one thing that's the whole thing, we got to do something about guns. We got to do something about, but there is a lot that goes into it. A lot of intricacies that go into it. It's the same thing. We have to do something about healthcare. Well, I'd love to scream that till the fucking cows come home. But a thing with that is we have to look into the intricacies of it, the redundant. But the problem is everybody's in their own camp, and nobody really wants to sit and really look at the intricacies of it and try to figure it out. So, you can say, well, it's going to be a lot more. Yes, probably. Until people want to sit down and look at the intricacies of it and try to solve the problem.
Well, the vast majority of the population wants stricter gun laws, wants universal background checks. They want a lot of these things that the Republicans do not want to do. So in the non-gerrymandered sections, in the non-gerrymandered areas, they're going to get their asses beaten. I'm promising you this. If the Democrats know it, I said it last week, I'll say it again. If I'm the Democrats, I run on national abortion and guns. That's what I run on. Because the Republicans are going to run on the economy or whatever else they're going to run on. You can handle the economy. Talk about, the economy's this, the economy's that. What happens if a basketball rolls across the street? Can you go get it? Do you feel safe with your kids going to the mall? If your wife needs health care, can she get it? Because this health care thing, it's not just about abortion. Now doctors aren't even, doing things to help women that is an abortion because they're like, I don't know where the line is. So women are going without health care.
Well, what do you mean? What procedures? What do you mean?
I don't.
Well, sometimes women have to have. There's a lot of different. different things that can go wrong. First of all, pregnancies don't always carry to term. A lot of women have miscarriages, and there have been cases where women have been brought up on charges because in other countries where abortion is illegal, they've been brought up on charges because they had to prove that they miscarried and didn't abort. That's what the bad part is, where we start going after people, wagging our finger, what did you do? And it's like, it's bad enough to miscarry a child, much less to be chased after and said that you're a murderer because abortion is not allowed. And when we have laws where abortion is not allowed in cases of rape and incest, when we have cases where abortion is not allowed because there is some kind of deficiency with the fetus, it should be the family's decision, the woman's decision, whether she wants to give birth to something, like I used the example, without a brain. This is craziness. But there's also lots of things that can happen, ectopic pregnancies.
The conservatives have to make up their mind and wake up and smell the coffee on how much they're going to be handcuffed to the religious rights. Like I said, the midterms was not the sweep it was because of the abortion bill and the whole anti-Trumpism. Where gun control will be in the mix in 2024, that remains to be seen. I don't think it's going to be as prevalent as the hatred of Trump and the abortion law. But the thing about it is, like I said earlier in the show and we discussed last week, you have the religious right, this judge that goes with the religious right saying that the FDA there wasn't enough done on this abortion pill and we want to ban it in the country. That's bullshit. And I tell conservatives this, MAGA conservatives this all the time. Haven't you learned a fucking thing about the midterms? I brought it up on so many occasions, on a show, hanging out at the club, whatever, telling people, didn't the midterms teach you? I go, my opinion on a lot of things changed at the midterms, but people's reasoning. You couldn't see the way the economy's going, the way the country's going, but this was the hill that people wanted to do. All right, fine. Gotta wake up and smell the coffee. So they have to stop being handcuffed to the religious right. However, the religious right is the conservatives' base, okay? That's where they have to go home to. But they have to decide if they're going to move the party forward, especially now, how much they're going to be handcuffed to the religious right, and the stance on abortion has to be, they have to back off.
The Republicans have been a minority party for decades. The only president to win the popular vote since like Bill Clinton was George W. Bush the second time against John Kerry. They are a minority party and they are shrinking. The religious right is their base. I hear you, pal, but they can't turn their back on them because everybody else is like, you guys are fucking nuts.
Like I said, I was doing a gig years ago with a young lady who was on the Democratic Party, an activist on the day. She worked on Hillary's campaign for a little bit. And, we talked about politics the whole damn weekend. And she, that's why I brought that up, because she taught me that. She showed me that. And the problem is that they have to stay handcuffed to the religious right, because without them, there's no place to go home, which is a shame. But, I was doing I was working in Philly years ago, and there was part of it was a Republican Party. There was a Republican Party candidate there, and I was talking with her, and I go, look, I'm a conservative registered Republican. I go, you're a young lady. You've got to start waking the party the hell up and start getting the party geared for the future. And it's not. She goes, yeah, I know. I go, but you're young. You're smart. You've got to start getting the party turned around. You have to, who knows?
All right, let's move on. So there's been no sign of Mississippi Morning News anchor woman since she voiced a Snoop Dogg phrase on air earlier this month. Barbie Bassett has not been on air for NBC affiliate WLBT since March 8th when her team were discussing the rapper's addition to his wine line. Bassett said, "Faux shizzle, my nizzle." When the idea of a Snoop collaboration with a newsroom journalist was raised, nizzle is slang for the N-word. The station's chief meteorologist as well as anchor, Bassett, has previously caused controversy with a comment referring to a black reporter's grandmammy on air. She later apologized. She's no longer listed on the station's website, according to the Clarion Ledger. And Bassett has not shared anything on Twitter since the same day. Her silence, including this weekend when a deadly tornado struck Mississippi, sparking huge chatter among meteorologists. The New York Post reports the story, but has received no comment from Bassett, WLBT, or Snoop Dogg. It quotes the station's regional vice president, Ted Fortenberry, saying, "As I'm sure you can understand, WLBT is not able to comment on personal matters." Here's the thing. If she just had the faux shizzle, my nizzle comment, I don't think anything needs to be done. But like 5 months ago, 4 months ago, 3 months ago, three months ago, you just had to apologize for grandmammy. Hey, old white lady, ease up, sweetie. Ease up. You can't say certain things. You just had to apologize.
Now, so you would think, for shizzle my nizzle, a middle-aged white woman isn't going to know what the hell that is. However, after what happened several months prior, you'll learn your life. Don't say anything. Just don't add anything. Shut up. Don't comment on anything.
Don't be saying things that are a vernacular you don't understand. You sound even older than you are, number one. But number two, you already got in trouble. Maybe you should have made sure that you understand what's coming out of your mouth. I knew what it meant, but when I first read this, I was like, so she said something stupid that really aged her. Oh, wait. Like, it took me a moment to realize, oh, yeah, that's a stand-in word for the N-word. But it didn't grab me right away because it's like, it's just one of these stupid things you hear in the air. And I could see saying something out loud that, you know, you hadn't really completely thought through. But she already got in trouble. So shut up.
The funny thing, because you read the detail, the mammy thing on the tail of the story, and maybe they did it on purpose. How the hell would she know my nizzle is? I'm like, oh, she knows what mammy is, though.
Yeah, like... I think if it was just the faux shizzle my nizzle part, I think she could have dodged it. I really don't think she had any malice. I don't think she had any malice when she said that particular phrase. As Pip said, she certainly did age herself. But a couple months after grandmammy, I mean, come on, sweetie. How much of this are we going to put up with? That's
right.
you gots to go.
Yeah. You know, if it just slipped out and then she realized what she just said, I could see her saying, I really apologize. I just thought of it as like, you know, a funny phrase. I didn't really think about what I was saying, and I'm sorry, I didn't know, you know. But by now, you already got in trouble.
You're quoting Snoop Dogg, okay? Now, the thing about it is, he was like, well, how the hell is she supposed to know that? She knows how to make cookies and tell the weather. But the thing about it is, you can't be that stupid. You just saved your ass with grandmammy 5 months ago. Snoop Dogg is coming. Fred Lightly, talk about a fucking front coming through the Rockies. And don't mention this motherfucker. Yeah.
And if you have a cooking segment, for the love of God, don't let her make pancakes.
Pancakes? Well, you know what? We were going to make collard greens. We're going to make sausage today. You know, I mean, you can't be that stupid.
Take the Mrs. Butterworth away from her. It's going to get ugly.
Yeah.
Oh, I guess white people can't say izzle with the N anymore. I don't know. All right, let's do some school. I mean, I wouldn't have been offended by that. I don't think most people would have been offended by that, but she does have a history. All right.
Yeah.
Let's do some School of Fools. Just come on. The navigation on this thing is not working. Work, you whore. Here we go. Come on. Bam.
Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies. Ashes, ashes, we all fall down.
Shame, shame, shame.
School of Fools.
God's Bestseller is next up on the chopping block. A Utah parent is calling for the Bible to be banned in school districts, claiming it violates the state's 2022 law regarding sensitive material. Get this porn out of our schools, pleads the anonymous parent in their scathing request to Davis High School, calling the Bible one of the most sex-ridden books around. Yeah, I'm surprised God gave the okay on that one. He really toned it back in the sequel. Utah's law, HBO 374, passed last year, prohibits materials that include pornographic or indecent content. The parents cited the Bible's incest, onanism, bestiality, prostitution, genital mutilation, fellatio, dildos, rape, and even infanticide when giving it 5 stars. No, that's not what they said. When asking it to be removed.
2 thumbs up. The butt.
You don't get enough onanism today. Thank you, Old Testament. The disgruntled parent wrote to the school board on December 11th, right in time for Christmas, per documents obtained by the Post. How does the Post obtain documents unless they're left at some Delaware computer guy? Come on. referencing the nonprofit Utah Parents United, it's like the worst superhero ever. Which has routinely, although they do have magical underpants, which is exciting. Which
and they're
is,
absolutely no fun either.
No, they are not.
No.
I mean, if you can't have bestiality, what are we even? What's the point of going to school, kids? What's the point?
I'm going home.
Yeah. Referencing the nonprofit group Utah Parents United, which has routinely advocated for the removal of certain books, including ones with LGBTQ content on various social media platforms, a parent called the organization a white supremacist hate group. The guideline is meant to provide a clear standard for what is acceptable for K-12 school libraries. Nicole Mason, president of the United Parents United, told the Post, "The law is meant to protect children from unrestricted access to explicit sexual content in K-12 schools." Because I remember when I was in high school, the place I went for my playboys was the school library. I know a lot of my peers went out to the woods or a Big Brother, but I took it out from the periodical section at the school library. That's where I got my boner material.
Yes, the school library was the most dangerous and damning place that affected me.
That's
my
why
upbringing.
That's why I had a boner 4 out of 7 periods. None of the passages from the Bible meet the bright line standard for pornographic content. Really? The bright line rule is another term for material that meets the requirements for removal, such as being indecent and pornographic. Utah Parents United left one of the most sex-ridden books around, the Bible. The statement continued, noting a gap. I love gaps. And the long list of banned books. I like to fill gaps. But Mason told the Post that not every reference to sexual activity meets the criteria for removal from a school library. The law describes description or a depiction of illicit sex as human genitals in a state of sexual stimulation or arousal, as opposed to that sex where nobody's aroused, which is what happens in my house.
Oh, come on, let's get through the motions because, you know, the good shows are on TV in half an hour.
Honey, get the popsicle sticks and the rubber bands. This boy won't stand on its own no more. Acts of human masturbation as opposed to inhuman masturbation. Give me that kitty cat. Acts
of- No, leave the cat alone. Poor Nacho.
We don't like to put a name on the cat's balls. Acts of human masturbation, sexual intercourse, or sodomy, and fondling of or other erotic touching of human genitals or pubic region, as well as human buttock or female breast. However, in the religious text, there are a few instances where sex is not mentioned but described. A man named Lot. A man named Lot gave what he got.
God, yeah.
A man named Lot has drunken sex with his daughters in Genesis 19:30-32. A woman is condemned for her nakedness and whoring in Ezekiel. God smites the city of Sodom after a group of men seemingly request to have sex with other men. But we were made in the image of you. Why are you smiting? Shut up. It was a bad day at the office.
The thing about it and the examples they just gave here, you know, all of this happened, then God got word of it and hit the fucking roof and then killed everybody. Salt, rain, locusts. Well, it wasn't without repercussions. It's kind of a lesson to keep your nose clean. God didn't go for this shit. He told him what happened. You know, he hit the roof.
Listen, hey, kids, you don't want God to come back and start a smiting, right? Don't read this.
A smiting we will go, a smiting we will go.
There were multiple references in the Song of Songs about breasts. All right. The anonymous person submitted an 8-page list of their own for review, which cited and quoted specific biblical passages that described or alluded to or depicted scenarios that could be considered offensive, they claimed. You'll no doubt find that the Bible under the Utah Code has no serious values for minors because it's pornographic by your definition, the Utah parent wrote. If the books that have been banned so far are any indication for way lesser offenses, this should be a slam dunk. But it appears the Utah lawmakers would agree. But it doesn't appear they would agree. Representative Ken Ivory, who's white as snow, who sponsored the state's book ban, called the parents' Bible ban request a backhanded slap to parents that are simply trying to keep a healthy learning environment for all students and the school. Keep the kids safe. Send them to church.
God, no. Sorry.
I have every confidence that no school district is going to consider the Bible as violating 7610-1227, he added, referencing the section of the law that describes sex acts or sexual immorality. A Davis School District spokesperson told the Post that the district has received 81 requests to review books since the state passed the law last year. So far, the Sensitive Material Review Committee, which reviews the books requested, have removed 33 titles and 16 as 32 books still wait to be reviewed, of which the Bible is one. The process to preview any book for possible removal from school libraries is time-consuming because we got to do that book reading, the spokesperson told the Post in a statement, noting that parents are welcome to request their individual child does not have access to specific materials. How about we just stop there? How about we just stop there? Since library materials differ widely, the time required to complete the review process will differ depending on the material, the statement continues. Ideally, the committee's facilitator will establish a timeline which will allow for completion of the review process within 60 days of the review request. If that 60-day timeline cannot be met, or if the school year will end before the review process is completed, then the timeline could be adjusted, the statement notes. The parents' snarky letter of concern comes as more books bans are introduced throughout the nation. All right. That's pretty much the gist of it. Well, we can do book banning another day. I got to tell you, under this law, it would seem the Bible has got to go, because that is a smutty little book. I mean, you're having sex with giants.
There's a lot going on in the Bible. I mean, a lot.
We used to play a game.
I don't mean just a lot. I mean, there's a lot going on.
We used to play a game.
They consider nasty.
We used to play a game on this very show in the very beginning called God or Lover, where you had to determine if something was from the Bible or if it was like some type of porn. It was not an easy game.
No, you couldn't tell the difference sometimes.
Like I said before, if he would have this stuff in the Bible, then God would get wind of it, and then and everything is going to go south. You know, so I think, in my opinion, number one, they're saying what is acceptable for K to 12. In my opinion, it should be what is acceptable from K to 6. Okay, after that, I think you can handle any content. Also, I do believe the Bible should not be in the school at all. Due to separation of church and state, regardless of what's going on in that book. It's Utah, ain't going to happen, but I think because it's Utah, this woman is misinterpreting the Bible, thinking it's this porn-laden book and wants it taken out.
Oh, no. I think she's interpreting it properly. It is a porn-laden book. Yeah, I just wonder, if there was a pitch meeting from the angels to God for the New Testament. Listen, some of the reviews for the Old Testament, you weren't really that likable. You came off kind of harsh. It was filled with sex. We couldn't show it in all the theaters. Maybe we want to pull back. Listen, I know you were trying to make a splash. And listen, a dude having sex with his sisters, with his daughters, certainly a conversation starter. But I'm just thinking maybe on the next one, I don't know. We go easy and just let your son die. Can we do that?
No. Right. The network TVs. Mediocre. Weren't doing good. And then a force more powerful than the Almighty came by. More powerful than the Almighty who? HBO. You got a point. So look what they did with scripts. All the shows they did. It trumped up ratings. It got good. All right. Enough of the jawbone of the ass and the flood and all that shit. Let's start making this nice and spicy here. Okay, we get it.
got their hand on the Bible and decided that it needed a little juicing up, a little, you know, bodice ripping, a little daughter diddling. I mean, that's when things really turned around. Right. And that version.
Yeah, well, yeah, I guess we all missed the meeting when they had the pitch meeting. It's like, all right, look, if we make Jesus look like Fabio, I think we can get the Jews.
Oh my God!
I gotta tell you, not many of us look like Fabio. Joe, not many of us look like Fabio. If you can get us to look like Fabio,
yeah, but I just said he had the abs and the hair. We're also a good start,
right? No, my people would love to look like that. Absolutely.
Oh my God, that's just like Jesus in a hair. Shampoo commercial. Oh, look, it's Fabio playing the part of Jesus.
I gotta tell you, I think God really liked the Old Testament. I think that was an act of love. Like, he really enjoyed that one. And like, all the angels came around and, like, told him to soften up on the Second Testament. I think that's why we don't have a Third Testament. He's like, listen, if I tried it your way, I'm not into it. If I can't write the story I want to write because it's too much, then I'm just not going to write it. And you guys can have fan fiction. You know, that's why we have Islam and Buddhism.
Mellowed. I mean, I think God has mellowed in his old age. I mean, you know, he used to be floods, locusts, you know.
No. We still have floods and locusts. I just think God doesn't want to write about it anymore because we can't handle it. I think God's the same prick he always was.
Well, you want to know something? If you look at what California's been going through the past 10 years, I mean, he hates California.
Well, I mean, he floods Florida. He puts tornadoes all over the place. You know, in Asia, they have, like, monsoons and typhoons. Listen, God is... Let's be honest. God wrote the second the New Testament for the critics. That's what that was. That's where he thought that's what the people were telling him they wanted. But he's not into it.
God was rough around the edges. That's why he sent his son down there. It's like, all right, look, go down there. You know, soften him up while you go down.
I gotta tell you,
after 33 years, it's like, all right, not so much. Come back.
I gotta tell you. I don't think I think God looks back and goes, "Nah, you know what? I didn't need bringing in a son. What are you trying to make me more likable, more relatable because I have a kid? No, I'm God. I think God is true to the old form. God didn't like kids. He's making Abraham almost kill his own. He's cutting off Schmeckles. He's killing firstborn. He came up with his son because that's what the networks, that, you know, that's what the showrunners told them the people wanted. So God tried to play ball. And then, you know, it's popular. It's very popular.
You saw the promo, the First Testament. Wow, what a rough time that was. But now it's time for God to soften up. And who better than his son? Yes, on December 25th in a town in Bethlehem, it's Jesus Christ.
Well, the weirdest spinoff ever.
Right. And you listen. And listen, the people love it. The people love the New Testament. God just doesn't love the New Testament. He's like, if I can't make the book I want to make, I'm not going to write a book. And that's why we haven't had a new book. That's why.
Yeah. Joe Pesci is Pontius Pilate. Put him on the cross.
This might be controversial, and I would never say something controversial, and this too shall probably keep me from elected office or being, you know, somebody of great import. But hear me out on this. Jesus Christ was Cousin Oliver of the Brady Bunch. They brought in the cute kid, and it wound up killing the whole program.
I have to think about that because we had a Brady Bunch story on Reels on Sunday night. And, because they brought Oliver in because they were running out of stories. And the ratings actually did go up.
Right,
Oliver,
which just proves my point. But then it's sort of, listen, the ratings went up with Jesus, but let's be honest, if you're flipping around, the Old Testament's much more interesting.
Oh yeah.
Jesus never walked in and sang a cute song like Oliver did. Yeah.
Listen, you give Jesus a bowl cut and glasses, he's Cousin Oliver.
Yeah. I still have Joe Pesci in there. It's like, hey, he pissed off the Jews. Did he piss off the Jews? A little bit.
Oh? I wash my hands of you.
Yeah. like De Niro.
Jesus Christ killed the franchise. I'm just putting it out there. If you had more giant fucking and daughter diddling, you might have more testaments.
No. Then there was the really controversial sequel, Muhammad.
Well, that's fan fiction. That's not even treated as canon. The Old Testament and the New Testament is canon. I mean, Islam is fan fiction, just like Buddhism. You know, that's all fan fiction. People go, but hey, look what's going on over here. Let's create our own gods and our own scenarios.
Now, I got canon on MeTV, okay? And I think the same thing I did when I was a kid when the damn show first came out. How is this fat slob in a members-only jacket a leaning man, that he's a hippopotamus, he's got this greasy hair, he's about as sexy as a fucking anvil. I never got canon. Still don't.
No, Joe, canon, it's a different canon. Canon is like when like a series or a franchise, other things come out, that's considered official. Like if somebody else writes like another Star Wars book that's not from the originals, but it's considered canon, that becomes part of the lore. You're talking about a different thing.
You're talking about a detective that just can't, like, jog the last mile to the scene of the crime.
Yeah.
All right.
It was never a sex symbol, by the way.
That's
what canon you're talking about.
Let's move on to Turbulent Air. This was Joe.
This is your captain speaking. If you look to your right, you'll see a beautiful, serene river. If you look to your left, majestic mountains. Uh-oh, straight ahead, it seems like we have a big black cloud. We're going to need you to fasten your seatbelts, folks, because it looks like we're in for a turbulent flight.
All right, here, let's see. An angry traveler has shared their frustrations over a woman who had the audacity to request a seat swap so she could sit next to her kid. In a resurfaced Reddit post now going viral, the flummoxed flyer said it was not my problem. They didn't book together when asked to switch seats. From the unidentified traveler was on a trans-Pacific flight from Japan, sitting in a window seat while the toddler was in the middle seat. The tot's mom was in the row directly behind them, also seated in the middle. She asked me, and just me, to switch with her so she could have my window seat next to her daughter. And I take her middle seat a row back, the user wrote. Hell to the fuck no. Hell to the fuck no. The peeve passenger continued in the post. Worse is, we were surrounded by others from her tour group that she could have asked for a three-way trade instead. Or the tour operator. The audacity to ask just me and expect an inferior trade on my side. People in the comments were divided over whether the user made the best decision. One person who described themselves as a parent of a toddler expressed shock that the original poster would prefer to sit next to someone else's unaccompanied toddler instead of moving. Sure, someone else can move, but either way, someone has to move or someone has to sit next to a flying toddler, the commenter continued, reprimanding the original Redditor for being infuriated about a mom trying to watch their own kid, calling it dumb. I honestly don't know which is more annoying for other passengers. All right. So basically, a bunch of other people chimed in, and it went back and forth, but we don't care what other people said. We only care what we said. And Joe gets the first crack at it because he wrote about it.
Yeah, because this is typical of people that feel like, oh, well, their problem is my problem now. All right? The woman should have checked the seating arrangements before she ever got, you know, ever got on the plane. Also, she should have asked somebody in the group. Number one, plus for everything you go through an airport. You go through the airport, you have to take your shoes on, you got to hop, try to get your shoes back on. Then you have to have them rifle through your stuff. Then you have to sit around waiting to get on the plane. Then they line you up in social status. How you're getting on the plane. This is after you either paid a fortune to park your car or had to spend $40 for an Uber to get you there. Now you sit down in a seat that you reserved specifically to enjoy a long flight, and now this woman comes up with her problem that wanna make it your problem. Sorry, your problem. I'm not moving. I'm staying there. Why couldn't the group figure it out? Why couldn't the airline figure it out? You know, it's just another people being stupid and inconsiderate and thinking, you know, and making your problem their problem. It's just like the story that we did at that restaurant, Daddy's, where they didn't want kids in there anymore because the kids are running around, they're being precocious, they're interrupting everybody. And the parents are like, well, we want a meal out, so does everybody else. And people work hard, they deserve a meal without children running around. But people don't realize that. The asshole at the supermarket that's got a cart filled with to the top. to stand there and wait for them to get done unloading all, like, you know, all their stuff. And they just give you that smile, like you just want to hit with a shovel. You know, why is your problem my problem, you know? I also talk about the guy, I used to do the joke in my act, but there was one guy, I was down at Point Pleasant, I get done with the club, I'm going home, I'm tired, I want to get a cup of coffee, and there is this one guy playing every lottery game, and this is going on 5 minutes. I flip. I told him Atlantic City is 40 miles that way. If you want to spend your night playing video games, go to Atlantic City. Get the hell out of here. You've been here for 8 minutes sticking around with this stuff. And they give you that smile, that stupid smile. Well, you know, no, get out of the way. Be considerate of others, you know? So, yeah, I don't have any patience with this.
So
also, when you go to the dollar store, okay, and the person that wants to buy balloons at the dollar store, why do you wait till you get up to the cashier to pick out the fucking balloon? They're sitting there. It's like, does that say happy birthday? What about that? Here, I got a balloon, and here's the one that says, fuck you. Get out of here.
Here's your balloon.
So you're saying
your problem's not my problem.
So you're saying you would rather sit next to somebody else's toddler than being in the middle of two adults?
I'd rather sit next to the ISIS guy before if that's my seat. I'm sorry, that's not my problem. You know why? Because I got a window seat. I wanted this window seat. I requested this window seat. It's a long flight. You know what? Why is it my problem? Go to the tour group and have, you know, switch with one of the tour group. And you want to know something? If they don't, they're a bigger prick than I am because they're your people, not mine. They're group you're with. Why is it my problem? Why don't you check your tickets? Check your tickets. Why is this my problem? You don't see where your toddler's going to sit? You know, call the flight attendant. You know, and you want to know something? If it's a problem now, if the flight attendant told you have to switch, you got to switch because it's their plane, their rules. You know, and if you disagree with them, they'll just toss you off the plane. You know, but if it's this one woman that, well, I don't understand. Why don't you think first? Why is it my problem that you didn't think? And that's the bottom line. Why is it my problem that you didn't think?
Can I just say on a completely unrelated note, Joe, I'm loving your audio tonight. It's nice and loud. I can hear you. I don't know if
you want to know something. You're kind of low coming through the phone. I don't know why.
Oh,
I mean, I can hear you, but it's usually I got it cranked up. Usually I got to turn it down a little bit.
Oh, well, you've never sounded better.
Good. Well, because I'm yelling most of the night.
No.
Except for that.
here's the thing. This woman, for most people, has ruined the flight because now you even feel awkward saying no. Now you're the one who didn't let the mom sit next to the toddler. You've ruined this flight. Except if you're this crazy person who's like, fuck to the no, more wine.
You gotta think of the situation why you said no, okay? Like I said, last month my ex-wife had to move some stuff from one storage unit to another storage unit. She does typical stuff that she always did. She beat around the bush, can I drive a U-Haul truck? Yeah, you could drive. You drove my van. Okay, because the person that's helping me doesn't have a license. Then she goes, oh, well, you'd help your friend move. You don't help me move. You never asked me. And number two, I go, if you asked me, I would have done it. But I go, because you don't ask the question, you beat around, and then you got nasty, I don't give a fuck how it happened. So I kind of felt guilty over it. I always promised, you know, my ex-partner, I kind of watch over her. And I still, you know, and I've helped her out before, after the divorce and after I've been here, doubled her out during a storm, helped her buy a car, you know, negotiate a car. I've helped her. But the thing about it is she's always had the thing where you try to put out compassion and she slaps your hand away. And that's what she did. You should have asked me right out, can you help me? And you shouldn't have been nasty about it. And I would have helped you. And so any guilt I had, it's like, well, I wonder how she... No, you want to know something? No, she's on her own. She's on her own. Because if she asked nice, and if I would have done that. I would have done that out of a favor. I even told Joe's girl that. I said, you know, you would have, you know, if you get mad, well, but I'm sorry. I would have done that. But, you know, the nasty route, sorry.
Yeah, I don't know if I would have had a really hard time saying no, but I definitely would have wanted to say no. I'm a little bit of a puss in these situations because I feel like, oh, everybody's looking at me. I'm going to be the asshole. But it's a long freaking flight, man, from Japan.
That's what I'm saying. It's a long flight. You got the window seat, and nobody in the group can switch. Nobody in the group can switch. And you didn't. You didn't check your seating or go over the seating. When you get on a plane, and I have a coworker of mine who was going to Florida with the family, okay? And he noted, and he's got, what, two kids? He noticed that the kids were going to be separate from his wife and blah, blah, blah. Did he get on the plane and ask people to move around? No. He spent about 5 hours with the airline, because you have to wait, rearranging the seats, because he took the time to see this was going to... He didn't wait to get in the plane and inconvenience everybody.
Right, that's not the time to be deciding that you have to work on this problem. What was she going to do if absolutely nobody would or could change their seats for whatever reason? She's going to sit there with her toddler sitting in front of her from Japan? I mean, this is really...
Yeah, well sometimes when you're booking, you can't sit next to the person. First of all, they charge you now more to pick your own seats, which is ridiculous, but... You know, whatever. You have to do that with the toddler. But it is possible that these were the only two seats left. It is possible.
And it's like, and you know what? Then you can't get on the plane if you've got a toddler. And you have to sit with them. You have to make damn sure that you're seated with them.
Why didn't she speak to a flight attendant and have the guy, look, like I said before, on a plane, their plane, their rules. You either go with their rules or you go off the plane. If the airline... felt it would be best, they would have told him or somebody from the...
And I've seen that before. I've seen that before where flight attendants will ask people to switch. But it's a hard move to go from a window to a middle seat. That's the part that sucks. Nobody wants the middle seat.
Yeah.
But you know what? If the switch, that's fine. But if the flight attendant says you have to move, you know, they're playing their rules. You know, if you're, well, I'm not mine, you get off the fucking plane, you know. The woman should have went that route instead of inconveniencing this guy. Why does this guy have to have a guilt trip because this woman didn't think? And it's, you're seeing this more and more and more because you want to know something? The stupid don't get ostracized enough. Nobody ostracizes the stupid anymore. And the problem is, as a comic, we don't have a filter. You know, we're used to it because we're on stage. We say whatever we want. But, and you take that into real life. And I've, there have been many a times I've said shit because I don't have the filter anymore. I say it on stage. I don't give a fuck if I'm at Stop and Shop. You know, and people look at you like, hope it's just because you're sheep and you're morons. That's why. And I've said that before.
I feel like you've just created your new hidden camera show. Where like you have like the man on the street interview, like all these like late night shows do, you know, and like they say stupid things, but people just laugh. But instead you pop out and ostracize them on the spot.
Let me tell you something. I yelled at a whole line at the Home Depot one day. I'm online and there's a checkout and there's like three people in front of me. And the woman goes, line three's open. Line three's up, so I head over to line three. Hey, you cut in front of us. And I go, well, if you weren't standing there staring at this woman like a retard at a Ferris wheel, you would have been ahead of me. Wake up and pay attention. I yelled at all of them, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did you use the word did you use the word retard?
Yeah. You know what?
I said, did you use the word retard?
You're damn right I did. Like a retard at a Ferris wheel.
You know, Joe, sometimes if I didn't know you and I was in a store and I heard some of the stuff that you say to people, I'd be like, you asshole.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Here's the thing about Joe. Here's the thing. Even when Joe has the moral high ground, he knows how to quickly cede it.
Now, here's a good thing. Like if you got like the talkative guy, like one time, this is fun to do. If you're ever, like, if you're in front of, like, an end cap at a store looking at groceries or something like that, and this guy just comes up to you, oh, it's good on sale. You know, I like to get those since when they're on, and you just walk away and don't say a word. It's the nastiest, rudest, funniest fucking thing you could do. You just say, you know, and I like it. Just walk away.
It's like, well,
nasty, fun thing to do.
Well, bye, Mr. Chatty.
should be docile as a bunny and do that.
All right, let's do some drunks in the news. Let's do that.
Welcome to Drunks in the News.
This week's Benjamin Franklin drinking term, cinnamon, glazed. If you're drunk, you're glazed. I like that.
I like that. I like that
term. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like you went down on it and came up with it. All right. A 47-year-old man was left in extreme pain and needed surgery after he inserted a water glass into his rectum. Rectum damn near killed him, I say.
Killed him!
The Nepalese man arrived at the emergency department, admitting the object had been inside him for 3 days.
Oh, God! Oh!
How does this guy... I mean, what is this guy drinking out of? He's going thirsty for 3 days? I don't understand.
He was balancing it, and it got sucked in.
Initially, the man said it happened by accident, before revealing he had inserted the glass himself for sexual gratification while intoxicated, according to the Journal of Nepal Medical Center. The man hadn't had a bowel movement in 2 days, but was able to pass wind, and he had no bleeding, but was in a lot of pain.
You know what that must have sounded like? It must have sounded like a stinky wind chime.
Yeah, you know what it's like? You ever see, like, on those talent shows when they'll have, like, a stack of glasses and somebody will put their hands...
That's what it would sound like, yeah.
Yeah.
I was close to that, but I don't know what kind of sound you could use to do this simile to make the joke work. But
well, Joe, I'll tell you what. You stick the glass up your ass, we'll figure out what type of sound it makes.
Oh, my God. I'm just thinking, like, you know, shards of glass up there.
He took it whole, dear.
He took it whole like a goblet.
Well, like a stamp.
You think that's impressive? Get the beer stein. Anyway.
With the handle. Oh, man.
The man said he had tried to remove the glass himself but failed. I tried to fart it out, I tell you. After an x-ray was done, doctors tried to remove it but couldn't get a grasp on the glass as it was inverted.
So they could fist him, but then they hit a clink with their ring?
This was not ass to mouth, this was glass to mouth. That's what this was. Medical staff then performed an exploratory laparotomy, which is a surgery to open up the abdomen. At that point, they attempted to move the glass out by milking or squeezing the lower intestine.
Old MacDonald had a glass in his ass. E-I-E-I-O.
With a poof there and a poof there. Here a poof there, a poof everywhere.
E-I-E-I-O, yes.
With a ting-ting here and a ting-ting there. Is that crystal in your ass?
Don't break it. It's a family heirloom.
Right. Yeah, right. That was grandma's glass in my ass.
It's part of a set. Oh, my God. Who's got the other one up their ass?
Funny. I keep my grandmother's glasses in a box in a garage. Hey, everybody needs his own, you know?
A box in a garage.
Yeah, tell us.
In my neck of the woods.
A box in a garage, an ass in an emergency room. Just keep it safe, kids. Milking was attempted to deliver the glass through the anus. But this was unsuccessful as the glass was high up, inverted, and tightly wedged.
I've been in that position before.
I know. Hence, sigmoid and an erostomy was done, and the glass was extracted. And
wasn't he the father of psychology?
Yes, yes, he was. As a matter of fact, he always blamed his mother for the glass being up his ass. I believe that's what he did.
Well, you want to know something? I was wrong. It's probably his brother, the proctologist.
It's a huge chapter in his book.
Or it could have been him, and it's like, yeah, well, I dabbled in that. Then I moved up.
An enterostomy is the surgical incision into an intestine, allowing the doctors to direct access to the glass. The man remained in the hospital for 7 days, recovering from the incident. All glassware was kept out of his reach. And 2 months later,
At a follow-up appointment, doctor said he was well and fully had recovered, though he was still missing a glass from his set. The most common reasons for an object inserted into the anus is sexual gratification. I like how there's a whole list of these reasons.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, it's like safekeeping.
Storage. Keep it away from the kids. Trick-or-treating. All sorts of reasons.
Now, as an addendum to the story, when I take lunch on show day, I'll go over the show prep, but I'll actually print out the sheets for the show prep while I'm on lunch. So I print out the story, and my coworker Zach is at the copy machine, and he's pulling out the copy, and he sees the thing with the glass X-ray, and he looks at me. I go, "It's a story tonight. It's not results, all right." I go, "We're doing a story tonight. Here's the rest of the story. It's not something I got back from the doctor, okay?" And he gave me a look when he pulled that out.
Oh, my God. That's funny as hell.
Common symptoms are abdominal pain, constipation, and rectal bleeding. Typically, people try to remove the object themselves several times before turning up to the hospital out of embarrassment.
Of course.
I'm not a drinker like you are, Joe, or maybe even you are, Pip. But how many drinks does it take till you start to look at that glass and go, "You know what? That glass is kind of sexy. Me and that glass up the ass." How many drinks?
There ain't enough whiskey in Lynchburg to make me do that.
Nope. That ain't safe.
So here's the thing. If you're this guy, you've already done the deed, they've taken the glass out, do you ask for the glass back?
If it's part of a set, yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, you do. You know what? If it's a part of a set or an heirloom, yeah, you can't replace that.
All right. So let's assume you get the glass back. How many times through the dishwasher till you're drinking out of that glass again?
It never is to be drunk from again. It will be washed. It will get Clorox on it. It will be disinfected. But that glass will be put in the spot unless where it can't be drunk out of until maybe you have a family gathering and that sister-in-law you don't care for too much. Well, that will be at her place setting.
I was kind of thinking. I was thinking the same thing.
Oh, no, I was thinking it's the glass for Elijah.
Oh.
Sorry. Well, nobody's really going to drink out of it.
Yeah, Elijah is. And now the Jews don't get saved because you gave him a shitty glass. Good job, Steve.
And the one time Elijah shows up.
I know. Thank you.
It's Elijah. It's a miracle, is it? Oh, Jesus. Don't drink out of the glass. Why not? Elijah, don't drink out of the glass.
That's when you pick up that glass, you throw it against the wall, and say, "Oops, yeah, go get another one."
Why did you give Elijah a Dixie cup? I got my reasons.
Elijah takes a swig. Why does this wine taste like shit?
I really wasn't expecting him to show up. All these shaders, and now, my luck.
All right, there you have it. All right, let's take our final break of the evening. On the break, we have new music from Sahara and Francesco with Hero, and Rit Me and Brave Boy with Drop It Down. And you can learn more about them at khb-music.de. When we come back, scamming scammers. Can Pip and Joe handle what Mary has for them this week? They were very upset last week. We'll